Well, as we've been going through a series the past few months called Breaking Ground, and we've been talking about how there's this divide that's been growing between Jesus Christ and what everyone else has been saying. Jesus Christ and the Pharisees, Jesus Christ and the rulers of the time. And so as this divide has been growing through the book of Matthew, there's a decision that has to be made among the people in the book of Matthew, where they have to choose, will we believe and trust what Jesus has said, or will we continue to trust what our leaders say, or will we continue to trust what the Pharisees, the teachers of the religious teachers of the time have been saying. And so even today, as we go through the passage, as we go through this sermon today, I ask you to also think about, where am I? Do I put my trust in Jesus, or do I put my trust in other things in this world? And so the title of today's passage is Tasting Death, Tasting Life. And we want to read from God's Word from Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 24, all the way to verse 28. If you have your Bibles, would you open up your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 28. This is the reading of God's Word. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Normally I start off the sermon with a question, but today I want to ask you to do a fill in the blank. If only I, whatever, fill in the blank, then I would be happy. If only, fill in the blank, then I would be happy. Some may say, if only I had a car, then I would be happy. Or if only I had just a little bit more money, then I would be happy. Some people might say, if only I get married, then I'll be happy. Or if only I could have a healthy life, then I'll be happy. For me, these days, it's if only the coronavirus would go away and life go back to something like what we thought was normal before. If only this could happen, then I would be happy. Now think about that for a little bit. If only what? Then I would be happy. Think about that for a little bit. Fill in the blank. And now I have a follow-up question. And that question is, why do you think that that thing that you're hoping for will make you happy? Why do you think that that thing will make you happy? I mean, let's take my example. If only the coronavirus would go away and we would go back to normal, then I would be happy. What am I hoping for? Why do I think that that would make me happy? Why? Because maybe if things went back to normal, then I would feel like everything's okay. But it doesn't necessarily mean that everything will be okay. There will be other issues that may come up. But in my mind, I'm thinking, if we go back to what we call normal, then maybe I'll be happy. How about for you, as you filled in that blank? If only then I would be happy. Why do you think that that thing will make you happy? The main idea for today, the thing that I'm hoping to share with all of you is that the hope for today is to show you that only, that you will only be happy, that you will only truly be happy when you follow Jesus. You will only truly be happy if you follow Jesus. And so that's the main idea. Follow Jesus. Trust in Jesus. And we're going to talk about this with three ideas. The first is tasting life. I know the title says tasting death and then tasting life, but we'll get to that. First one is tasting life. Second is tasting death. And the third is die to live. Let me say that again. The main idea for today is you will only truly be happy if you follow Jesus, if you put your trust in Jesus. We're going to talk about it with three ideas. Tasting life, tasting death, and die to live. So let's talk about the first one, tasting life. Now, I'm borrowing this wording, tasting life, tasting death, from verse 28. If you skip down to verse 28, it says, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death." So this is the idea. This is where I'm getting this wording from. Tasting death, tasting life. Now, and verse 24 is the main command in this passage. Verse 24 says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" And we'll talk about this a little bit later in the sermon, but let's skip that for now. And let's go directly to verse 25. In verse 25 it says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Let's think about that a little bit. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's not intuitive to think this way. It's paradoxical as you think about how does this make sense? Like, if you want to try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus' sake, then you'll find it? How does that make sense? And so we want to focus on this idea today. And I want to talk about it with three ideas. So if we could go to the next slide. There are three guiding thoughts that I want us to keep thinking about today. We're going to keep thinking about these three guiding thoughts. So again, the main idea for this, or this first point, is tasting life. Tasting life. The first thing under this is that we all have a sense of what life is. I'm not just talking about like physical life, like you're able to breathe, but what I'm talking about is, when we talk about really living life, what are we talking about? So the first thing is that we all have a sense of what life is because God created us. God created us to have a relationship with Him. God created us to know who He is and to understand what He's all about. And so when God created us, He gave us an understanding of what it is to have a perfect life, of what this life is supposed to be really all about. He gave us an understanding of what the good life is. Now, we don't have this perfect understanding today because of sin that kind of affects our thoughts. It gets, our ideas get distorted by sin. But we can have this ideal in mind. All of us have these ideals in mind about what will make us happy, about what life is supposed to be all about. Let me give some examples. A lot of us, as we think about maybe marriage, before we get married, we think about marriage and we think there is this hope that if I get married, then marriage is going to be this wonderful, loving thing my husband or my wife is going to be faithful to me. And so there's this hope. There's this ideal of what marriage is supposed to be like. Or maybe for some of us, we have this ideal of what work is supposed to be like. And so we imagine this satisfying, this fulfilling work that we're going to do. And so we try to apply for different jobs, and we're hoping that there's going to be this perfect job that makes me feel fulfilled or satisfied. Or maybe for some of us, we kind of think about a wonderful family. There's this image of a family that's supposed to be good. And some of us, we say, yeah, maybe I had that kind of family. Some of us, we say, no, I did not have that family. But in both cases, both people are saying there is this ideal that we have in mind about what family is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be a place where you feel supported. It's supposed to be a place where you feel secure. It's supposed to be a place where you feel stable. And so we have this ideal of what a family is supposed to be like. Or maybe for some of us, we have this ideal of rest, of retirement. Maybe our idea is that one day, I mean, if I work hard right now, then one day retirement is just going to be wonderful. I'll be able to enjoy the fruits of my labor. And so we have this idea of what retirement could be like. Or maybe for some of us, we have this idea of what a healthy life can be like. Or maybe for some of us, it's this idea of what life will be like if only people would just respect me and see me for who I am. Can't they see the degrees that I have? Or can't they see that I'm just an honest person? And we have this idea of how people should be treating us. And so again, because of our relationship with God, because God created us, we have this sense of what perfection, of what this life would look like if things would just work out the right way. We have this ideal in mind. And so we all have a sense of what life can be like. We kind of taste that life through our ideals. We also have a sense of what life is, but it seems that it's something that's impossible to keep. It's something that's impossible to maintain. And so as we're tasting life, we get glimpses here and there. Maybe some of us, we do have a wonderful family. Maybe for some of us, we do have a wonderful job. Or we are in a good marriage. And we kind of taste it, but then it's hard to hold on to. It's not so ideal all the time. It's difficult to maintain. But we can get that glimpse. We get a sense of what life could be like. And we continue to hope for that. And the third thing is that we all have a sense of what life is. And so because we have that sense of what life is, we set our lives on this pursuit of that happiness. We're on this pursuit of life, of an abundant life. And so we are pursuing, we're constantly pursuing. And we may have those thoughts just like we were talking about earlier. If only this, then I will be happy. I'll be satisfied if only people would recognize how good I am. I'll be satisfied if only my spouse would see that I'm right. Why can't my spouse see that I'm right? Or I'll be satisfied if only my children would listen to me. Or I'll be satisfied if only I could get married. Or I'll be satisfied if only I could get that job. Or if my business can succeed. I'll be satisfied if only I don't get sick. For me, going back to what I said earlier about what I'm hoping for, my statement is, I'll be satisfied if only I can somehow go back to normal life. And let's just get over this coronavirus thing, can't we? And that's what's going through my mind. We all have a sense of what life is, what life could be. And so we taste life. But the second point is that we taste death. So maybe we could go to the next slide. The next one, yeah. We taste death. Again, we're going through the same three guiding thoughts, and we're gonna go through them kind of backwards now. But before we do that, I want to read for us verse 26. Verse 26 says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" And one interesting little thing real quick is that if you look at verse 25 and verse 26, it uses two different words in English. Let me just read it for you again. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? If you go back to the original language and look at this passage, actually the word for life and soul is actually the same word. And so we're talking about the same thing in verses 25 and 26. For whoever would save his soul will lose it, but whoever loses his soul for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or you could do it the opposite way. In verse 26, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? It's the same word. So we're talking about the same thing. So what is verse 26 saying? What if I were to gain everything that I'm looking for in this life? Will it really make me happy? Will it really bring me what I'm looking for in this life? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? I mean, we say we want to gain money, or we just want a comfortable life. But what if you gain all the things that you're looking for, and yet you forfeit your life? Let me explain what this means. Okay. What if you finally get the degree that you've been trying to get? And you're hoping for all these things because you've tasted life. But after you get your degree, is it really giving you what you've wanted? Or maybe you finally get married and you're thinking about what marriage would be like. You finally get married. But then after you get married, is it really giving you what you expected? Or you open your own business. Is it really working out the way you hoped? Or maybe for some of us, we're at the age of retirement. And you finally retire. Is it what you really expected? Is life like how you were imagining it was supposed to be? Is it really turning out the way that you were hoping it would? Maybe for some of us, we're saying yes. And it's something that we experience just for a little bit. But after some time passes, we realize that it's not a lasting thing. So again, let's go through these three guiding thoughts. We taste death. We all begin to taste death when we're not able to obtain life, when we're not able to obtain the thing that we're pursuing. So say, like, I'm really pursuing something in my life because I feel like that's the thing that's going to bring me life. I really pursue it, but then I'm not able to obtain it. And that's when I begin to feel anxious. And that anxious feeling is the beginnings of me tasting death. This is what it feels like to not experience life. This is what it feels like to begin to experience death. I begin to feel anxious. Will I ever get married? Will I really be able to find the job that I want? Will I be able to retire well? And because of these questions, we're hoping for this wonderful thing, but then we're not really able to obtain it. And so we begin to become anxious, and that feeling, and that feeling doesn't go away. And you continue to worry, and you can't sleep, and these thoughts are just constantly going through your mind. You're experiencing death. You're tasting death in that moment. There was an incident recently where for me personally, I want to receive, not attention, but I want to receive respect. Like, let me say it a little bit differently. I want people to recognize that I'm a good guy, and people should see me in that way, and they should respond to me in that kind of way. This is something that I'm affected by. And so, like, one example recently was where I went to go on a boat ride recently, and I had to borrow a life jacket. And we were done with the boat ride, and I went to go return the life jacket. And I was supposed to get the deposit back for that life jacket, right? And but I wasn't there when we first paid for the tickets and all that kind of stuff, so I didn't know what the system was like, or I had forgotten. And so I wasn't sure how to get the deposit back. Well, when I went to try to get the deposit back, I didn't know what to say. I was kind of hesitating because my Chinese wasn't all there. And then the person just looks at me and says, "How many people do you have?" And I said, "Oh, we have 5 people in our party." And then the person said, "It's 700 NT. And I said, "Oh, are we supposed to pay after? Ho fuma. Are we supposed to pay afterwards?" And then the person just said, "700 NT. I said, "Okay." So I gave them 700 NT. I didn't know that my wife already paid. And so I just gave the money. And afterwards, my wife comes and she basically says, "No, no, no, what are you doing? No, no, that's not right. We already paid." And then I said to the store owner, why didn't you tell me that, why didn't you ask me whether I'm gonna get a deposit back or if I'm here as a new customer?" And then the person responded in a very disrespectful way. At least in my ears, it felt disrespectful. Why am I explaining all this? What ended up happening afterwards was that I started to raise my voice. I started to say, like, you know, "How can you do it this way? And, you know, please give us our money back." And they did give us the money back, and they're trying to explain. And I was like, "Whatever, you know, whatever, whatever. All right, all right." And I just left. And I just showed a really bad attitude. What was I doing there? Well, as I was pursuing this respect, a person should treat me with respect and dignity, this idea that I had. And I was thinking, if only people would treat me in this way, then I would be satisfied. I wouldn't respond in this kind of way. And so when they didn't, and I felt like I had to defend myself, and I felt like I had to try to make things right and try to get my respect back, try to get my dignity back, I started raising my voice. And so what was happening there was that I was tasting death. It felt like there was some kind of threat, and I felt like I had to fight for it again to try to get it back. Maybe some of you guys have felt something similar to that. It's so disappointing when we can't get what we're looking for. And when we don't, when there's that thing that we're pursuing after, and we don't get that thing that we're looking for, how do we respond? Well, we may respond with anxious hearts, we may respond with worry, and we may respond in this way, but some of us, we say we're more practical, we're more realists, right? And we just kind of adjust our expectations, or we adjust our ideals and say, well, that ideal that we think about, that can't be true. So let's adjust our ideals and just make some kind of expectation, some lower ideal, some lower expectation to say it's achievable now. And when you do achieve it, you feel very proud about it. But then when you're not able to achieve even that lowered expectation, then you feel devastated. Some of you guys might identify with that. And so through all that, we begin to taste death. But not only that, we also begin to taste death when we feel like we have life, but we can't keep it. There are times that we do experience that life. It's a momentary thing. We feel like, yes, I'm finally married. Yes, I finally got the job that I was looking for. Yes, I was finally able to retire. Yes, people are finally giving me the credit that I'm due. But then as we try to maintain that, as we try to keep that, then we begin to worry again. We begin to become anxious again. How do I make sure that people keep giving me that respect? How do I make sure that I'm able to keep having this job? How do I make sure that I keep all this money? Right? The typical example that we hear all the time is like rich people, when they finally are rich, like when they maybe become millionaires, maybe they won the lotto or something like that, we might think that they would be happy, that they would be satisfied with all the money that they have. But what we hear is that, in fact, a lot of these people, they go into depression, they become so worried about, what if I lose all this? Or what if people aren't giving me what I'm hoping for, even though I have all this money? And so because there's this pressure to try to hold on to this, the satisfaction that we're feeling, there's this pressure there, and we face death. We taste death. And finally, we all begin to taste death because this experience of tasting death and this desire for life, this ideal life, it's always been related to our relationship with God. Our tendency, whether we are a believer or not, whether we are a Christian or not, our tendency is to think about how to obtain life, how to pursue life and obtain it without God in the picture. That's our tendency. But because we do it this way without God in the picture, that's also why we end up experiencing death, why we end up tasting death in our lives. And the reason is because God originally created us, the perfect God, where all the ideals are true with Him. We were created to have a relationship with God. But when we decide ourselves to remove God from that picture, there's this eternal emptiness that's in our hearts. And we begin this pursuit of trying to fill that emptiness with something else. Again, we do this whether we are not Christians or whether we are Christians. We do this. We take our eyes off of God and we say, I'm going to figure this out. Anytime you feel that anxious feeling, anytime you feel fear, anytime you feel shame, those are indicators that we have taken God out of the picture again, and we're trying to fill that hole in our hearts with something else besides God. But God didn't intend it to be that way. God wanted us to have a relationship with Him eternally. God is the only one that is able to fill that eternal gap that's in our hearts. But it's so easy for us to get away from that idea over and over again. I saw this bumper sticker one time where it says, "No Jesus, no life. No Jesus, no life." And that might not make sense just by me saying it, but if you saw it written out, I should have prepared a slide for this, but the first "no Jesus, no life" is N-O. No Jesus, then you have no life. But the second "no Jesus, no life" is K-N-O-W. If you know Jesus, then you will know life. I wanted to give an example of how it's so easy for us to turn away from the Lord. It's so easy for us. It's just it's in our tendency to turn away from God. This morning, as I woke up this morning, and as soon as I woke up, there's this song, "He Loves Me, He Loves Me." There's this song that was on my mind, and I was thinking about that song. And then I woke up, and I was going over the sermon, and I was preparing still. And my kids started waking up. And I didn't prompt this, but my youngest daughter, Kara, she started singing a song also. And I don't know why or where she got this from, but she started singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I don't remember the tune, but she was singing the song, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then my other daughter, Claire, the older one, she comes in and she's like, Jesus, you know. And then the next thing I hear is Kara responds and she says, stop! Because in her mind, she wants to sing the song and not let her sister come in and sing a song also. I mean, she was singing a song, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, just because someone else does something, and it happens in a way that she wasn't expecting, or she wasn't thinking it was going to happen that way, all of a sudden, her mind goes off of the song, and now she has a complaining heart. My daughters are probably watching right now. Do you guys remember that? You remember that? It's so easy for us to lose God in that picture in our lives and to try to replace God with something else. And so what does it say in verse 27? It says, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. This may sound like something that is good news for some of us that feel like we've done a lot of good things in our lives. But in actuality, this verse comes as a warning to every single person. Because just as we just said, all of us have a tendency to try to replace God with something else. And when we replace God with something else, that is a sin. To actually say, God, I don't need you. I need something else in my life. God, I don't think that you're going to bring the satisfaction that I'm looking for, and so I'm going to do my best to try to find something else that will bring the satisfaction in my life. That's what we call sin, taking your eyes off of God and placing your eyes on something else. And what it says here is, God will come back, Jesus will come back with the angels, to repay each person according to what he has done. And so what that basically means is that all of us are deserving of punishment. All of us are deserving to be paid according to our sin. Even in my example of, I just want everything to go back to normal. In that example, my thought process, sometimes as I think about this, God's not in the picture. I'm just thinking, I want things to go back to normal. God's not even in the picture. And the thing that I don't consider at times is, maybe God is doing something through all of the stuff that's going on in the world. Maybe God wants to do something in the midst of all of this suffering that's going on. But I don't think about that. I just think, I don't want people to suffer anymore. I don't want to suffer anymore. I just want things to go back to normal. And so in my response, I take my eyes off of God and what God might be doing, what God wants to do in his way. I take my eyes off of that and I just think, I want things done my way. So judgment is coming. Not only is it coming in verse 28, it basically tells us that it's coming soon. So judgment is coming sooner than you think. And I think for a lot of us, we have a deeper understanding of this as we realize that the coronavirus can come to us at any time. Our lives are a lot more vulnerable than what we originally thought. Judgment is coming soon. Our lives will end, and we don't know when that will be. And the only way to gain life in this kind of situation, the only way to gain life is by dying. And so our third point is die to live. The way that the Bible talks about it is we need to lose our lives. We need to lose our lives for Jesus' sake in order to find it. All of those ideas of how I can have a happy life. All of those ideas about how I can have a wonderful life in this life. All those ideas. I need to give all of them up. If God is not in the picture, and I'm trying to pursue a life without God in the picture, I need to be giving that up. That's the idea of losing my life. And if I give up that idea, the idea is I'm going to give this up and I'm going to believe and trust that Jesus is able to give me everything that I'm looking for. So turning away from this idea that without God in the picture, I'm able to find some kind of happiness in my life. Turn away from this idea and turn to Jesus and believe and trust that because of what Jesus has done, I'm able to experience life. What did Jesus do? When Jesus came to this earth, he lived a perfect life. And he was faithful in having a relationship with God, understanding what life is really all about. He lived a perfect life. But not only that, he was able to maintain it. He was faithful in following the Father's way, not thinking, I'm going to do things my own way, but he was thinking, I want to do things in the Father's way. And he did that all the way to the end. And what he was pursuing was, I want to pursue the Father's will and not my own way. He had opportunities to pursue his own way. When Satan came and tempted Jesus Christ, he had an opportunity to do it his own way. To find comfort and rest and to get his mission done in a quick and easy way. He had the opportunities, but he didn't do that. He kept his eyes fixed on the Father and he lived his life perfectly to the end. And what he deserved was a wonderful life. What he got was death. But Jesus willingly went to the cross. Jesus willingly went to his death. Because he knew there was a hope that it would result in life. And that result in life was not just for him alone, but that hope of life is extended to all of us. We seek life, but we experience death. Jesus lived a perfect life and did all of these things perfectly. Having a relationship with God, maintaining that relationship, pursuing the Father in his will and not his own will. He did it perfectly. And yet he died on the cross so that our sin of not being able to do these things would be forgiven. And because Jesus did it, because he went to the cross, there is hope for life now. In order to experience life, there has to be death first. We need to die to live. And so if we could go to the last slide. Going back to the command in verse 24, it says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The idea being that if you want to experience life, even now, if you want to begin to experience life, then we need to deny ourselves. We need to lose our lives. Remember that idea of turning away from this life that I'm hoping for that doesn't have God in the picture. And again, the easy way to find out what those things are is ask yourselves, how do I, or when do I become anxious? When do I become fearful? When do I worry? Those are probably those times when I'm trying to figure things out in my life without God in the picture, where I'm not trusting in God. We need to deny ourselves of these hopes and turn to Jesus. The next thing is to take up our crosses. To deny ourselves to the extent of even dying. It's not just a one time I'm going to deny myself, but it's a continual rejecting of this false hope and continually turning to Jesus and saying, I realize that I'm not able to maintain this hope. I'm not able to maintain my eyes on the Lord, but Jesus, I know you did it for me. I know that I'm not able to continually take up the cross, but Jesus, I know you did it for me. And so I look to the cross. And the last thing is to have this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The interesting thing about this last word about follow is, if you follow me, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow me, they must deny themselves, take up your cross, and continue to follow me. The idea being that in every moment of our lives, every day of our lives, we need to take our eyes off of the things of this world and our false hopes and dreams and continue to turn back to Jesus. We need to be doing this every single day of our lives. And this is how we have a relationship with the Lord. The only reason why we're able to do this is because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross for us. And that's why right before this passage, right before verse 24, it tells us, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. But it doesn't stop there. In that verse, it also says, and on the third day, be raised. There is hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I urge each and every one of us to put our hope, our trust in Jesus. Let me just say a word to all those that do not believe in Jesus Christ just yet. If you are not a Christian yet, then I think this is a great opportunity today to think through all of the things where you hope to experience life. But also think through all the ways that we labor in life to pursue it, and we try to maintain this idea of what life is all about, but how we begin to experience death because it's impossible to maintain. And maybe from today, if you recognize that the only hope that we really have is in Jesus Christ, maybe you can say a prayer to the Lord, saying something like, I don't want to live my life my own way anymore. Jesus, I look to you because you're the one that was able to live life perfectly. I can't do it. And so I want to trust what you did for me. Maybe you could say a prayer like that. Maybe you could pray something like, I want to trust you. I want to believe in you. I do believe in you, of what you've done for me. And I know that there is hope in life because of you. And if you've prayed this kind of prayer, if this is your heart, if this is what you're wanting to do, then I ask you to pray this kind of prayer, and I ask you to send a message to the church and let us know that this is what you're doing. For those of you that are Christian, my exhortation to you is the same, actually. Reflect on your life. Reflect on those areas where you're trying to find hope and joy and peace, where God isn't really in the picture, and you begin to experience death because you're feeling anxious and fearful because of this situation, this issue that you're looking at, and God is apparently not in the picture. Turn to Jesus And maybe today you can also say a prayer like, I don't want to live life on my own anymore, my own way anymore. But I want to live it in your way. Let me look to you. I want to believe in you. I want to trust you. I do trust you. I trust what you've done for me. And that I don't have to fear anymore. I don't have to worry anymore. And so if that's you, Christian, that's praying this kind of prayer, I also ask you to share with us, the church, just what you're praying, what you're going through, what you're thinking through. Let's do that right now. Let's take a moment to pray and just to think through the sermon today. Whatever God is placing on your heart, just take a moment to pray. And I want to invite the worship team to come up now. And as you